Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Anyway, if you have your Bible here tonight, why don't you open it with me? Luke, if you can just give me the first slide, if you haven't already, that would be great. We are reading tonight from Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. Thanks, Luke. And if you don't have your Bible here or a phone, then I've got it here for you. So Matthew 5 to 7, just before we have that one. Matthew 5 to 7 is some of the greatest wisdom and instruction that we can find in the Bible. It is three full chapters of nothing but red letters. Nothing but Jesus speaking to us. And we know it as the Sermon on the Mount, that Matthew 5 to 7. And as I said, Jesus gives them just some amazing teaching and explanation about the law and its application. And at the end of this teaching, he concludes with this passage we're going to read here. Matthew 7, 24 to 7. And this is the New King James Version. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. In verse 26, it goes on and says, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it fell, and great was its fall. Not excellent was its fall, not wonderful was its fall, but huge, catastrophic was its fall. Before we go on, I think it's good to start at the start. And the first word that we have is therefore. Therefore. And I think that indicates to us that there's something coming, that there's something gone and now there's something coming. Therefore. And we and the people of that day, we realize it's coming to an end, that there are consequences that come. And he's saying all that stuff, all that gold, all that stuff that I've given you in chapters 5 to 7 is really good. It's really good stuff. But in and of itself, it's only just words. And here, I tell you this now, therefore, take this as an encouragement, but also take it as a warning. In other words, if we have someone who's giving us some instruction, say it's our dentist, and our dentist says, look, if you want to take care of your teeth, here's how to do it. You need to grab your toothbrush, grab your toothpaste every day and every night, every morning, every night, and give them a brush. Don't do it too hard because you wreck your gums, but don't do it too soft because you won't get it all out. When you're finished, get your floss out and do your flossing as well. And that's good practice. And if you do this, your teeth will stay strong and they will stay healthy and you won't have any pain until you eat popcorn and break a tooth or something. But anyway, it gives you the best chance. But if you don't take my instruction on this, and I'm the expert, I'm the dentist, if you don't take my instruction on this, your teeth will rot, they will break, and they will have to be removed at much cost and at much pain. And I think that if we hear someone say that, we are quite eager to hear that instruction maybe again and go, all right, I understand the gravity of this now. I'm going to listen to you a little bit better this time. Please explain it to me again. Cass and I just moved into a new house a little while ago, and our place has its own set of challenges, as do most homes. And this one has a pretty disastrous set of retaining walls out the front of our house. They're big, they're ugly, and they're leaning over. And so it's been a bit of a process for me to start rebuilding these walls. It's been fun. Anybody built a retaining wall before? Yes, yes. They suck a little bit, don't they? They suck. But I've been able to understand through this process in some part the importance of having a good foundation. I've even had to rethink my action plan in how to rebuild this wall a couple of times because I've just been looking for the easy way out. Oh, maybe I don't need to dig so deep, or maybe I can do it, you know, a little quicker this way. I don't have to dig as much. But the more I look into that and more I hear the experts talk to me, I realize that there's no point doing that. There's no point going the easy way out because I want to have a good foundation, because I want my wall to last. And I think anyone who's ever built anything that they want to last would agree with this statement. There's no point building something if you don't proceed with the correct and adequate foundation. There's just no point. And I think this is in part what Jesus is saying through these few scriptures here. We are building a house. Your life and the culmination of the choices you make, the circumstances you are in, the experience you have and the relationships that you have are the house that you're building. And it's not just the walls and it's not just the floor, it's not just the roof that we're building in our house. And when we think about a house, we have our floor, whether it's tiles, whether it's carpet, whether it's floorboards. And then under our floor, we have our subfloor, which then connects to the foundations. And we're not even talking about that part of it. Because even if your subfloor is built on sand, your house is going to fail. Your house is going to fail. The foundation is what's important. And we have a choice. It's up to us whether we're going to be wise, as Jesus says, or foolish in the choice of our foundation, be it rock or sand. So my message, child, for tonight, if you're writing something down, is it's foundational. It's foundational. And in brackets I've got here, realizing the importance of a solid foundation. I watched a documentary this week, or it might have been last week, on the world's tallest building, the Burj Khalifa in Dubai, which is this building here. This amazing building is a $1.5 billion, 828-meter tall, state-of-the-art hotel and residential building. And to truly appreciate how big that is compared to the next one, the next building, the Taipei 101, is only 509 meters. 300 meters difference between the first and second tallest buildings in the world at this point. It has 57 elevators in it. Some are double story. And it costs you around $2,000 a night to stay in this place. But as amazing as this, I've got some other photos. That's what it looks like from the ground. That's another shot, just towering over everything else. But as amazing as all this is, and as wow as we can be about how that building looks and how it functions and how great it all is, none of it would be, and this is in Pastor Graham's terms, none of it would be worth a crumpet. None of it would be worth a crumpet if it wasn't for the foundations that are stopping it from sinking into the ground or from toppling over in the wind. That thing weighs 500,000 tons, or 250,000, roughly 250,000 cars into that thing. So it can sink, and it has sunk a little bit. So the wind and its sinking will cause it to not function as it needs to. And that's all dependent on the foundation. Let's look at the foundation of this thing in a little bit of detail before we move on. It has a concrete slab 3.7 meters thick. I don't know. That's probably, I don't know. 3.7 meters. You know how tall 3.7. Thick, huh? Twice my height. Yeah. Twice my height. That's pretty thick. It's a lot of concrete for that size. And it is connected to nearly 200 of these. There it is. That's what it looks like in foundation stage. And it is connected to nearly 200 of these 1.5 meter thick piles that go 50 meters down into the ground. I was just thinking about this and it blew my mind how solid and how thick that foundation is. And it's needed. But I can guarantee you the majority of the people that go there and look at this building, they wouldn't think for a second about the foundation. They wouldn't for one second. Yet it is essential. Essential more than anything else in keeping us safe in and around that building. Jesus, being a carpenter himself, I think would have had a pretty good practical understanding of the importance of a solid foundation. And this analogy he uses is so perfect. But what is the foundation that he's actually talking about? What is the rock? Let's read it again in verse 24. Therefore, whoever, what? These sayings of mine, and I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. He who hears and he who does. And he's talking at this point about the instruction that he's given in the previous three chapters, Matthew 5 to 7. So if for nothing else you take from tonight, please go home, have a look at Matthew 5 to 7, because there's so much great wisdom and so much great teaching in just those three chapters alone. So we realize now our foundation is not only important, but it's critical. Critical to the success of anything that's built, our lives included. But the key is this. The foundation of a building is not tested until there's a storm. If they built the Burj Khalifa, that big building, on the sand with an okay foundation, taking into account the weight so it wouldn't sink too much, I reckon it would probably stand there just fine for a little while. But as soon as the atmosphere changed, or as soon as there was a storm, then that thing would just fall over and it would crumble. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it fell. And great was its fall. You see, if our foundation is not deep and the wind comes, we can just blow right over. But the other part of Jesus' analogy, when he talks about the rains and the floods, obviously to do with the water. And I think the water can even be an even bigger problem. Because what water does, it actually sinks into the ground over time, and it can completely undermine the foundation of a house or of a building. Completely undermine it, rendering the foundation weak and useless. That retaining wall that we had at home, it was quite bent over. It's quite no good. But it didn't start that way about 10 years ago. It was built straight and it was great for a while. But because that foundation was inadequate, that thing just tipped over over time. The rain comes and then it goes. The storm doesn't in life continue forever. The rain will come and then it'll stop. The sun will come out and the ground will dry. But if the water's not taken away from that foundation, it will sink and it will pool around that foundation that has been dug. And it will sit there even while the sun is shining outside. So it's important to realise, I think, that that even if the storm has come, even if a storm has been in your life in the past, it can still have an effect on your future if that water is not taken away and if that foundation is not solid. So what storms are you in right now? What storms have you been in the past that may have still left a puddle around your foundation? What could the enemy try and use? Because he will try to use to undermine your foundation. Could it be heartbreak? Could it be betrayal? Could there have been a tragedy in your life that he's trying to still use to rob what God has for you? Could it be a fear of failure, anxiety, persecution, any of these things? Two of the big ones, I think, as I was considering this, is temptation that he can use and our feelings and emotions, which he can play on. And I just see those as such lies from the enemy when it comes to our feelings and emotions and temptation. Like that little bit of water from the storm quietly seeping in to undermine our foundation. And it, as I said, it doesn't even happen from the first storm sometimes. It can be after a number of challenges that our foundations collapse. There might be some of you guys here thinking right now that, praise God, I haven't really had any major storms in my life. There may have been a little rain here and there, but it's been pretty good. And that's good, but Jesus doesn't just say, if the rain descends. He doesn't just say, maybe when the rain descends. He simply says, and the rain descended. And if you haven't experienced the storm, then you probably will. And if you have, then we probably will again. But that's not cause to be alarmed, and it's not cause to see our spirit down, because Jesus also gives us hope. His instruction about the wise man, he gives us instruction here. His instruction about the wise man building on the rock was, the wise man, number one, he heard the sayings. He heard them. But number two, he obeyed the sayings, which is the critical key here. Because both the foolish and the wise man heard. They both heard. But it was only the wise man who obeyed. We can come and we can hear. We can read God's word and we can hear. But do we do that second point? Do we get there and do we obey? Is a challenge. Like, believe me, this is. I'm talking to myself here as well. It's a challenge for all. But what is that solid rock foundation? Let's look at what it actually is. What is that solid rock? It's being obedient to the word of God. being his Jesus and his teachings. What are some examples of the rock Jesus is talking about in Matthew 5 to 7? Just this is all the subtitles of the message is Sermon on the Mount. So there's lots of stuff. What, did I spell something wrong? Oh, yeah, Chris. Man, I read that like 3 times. If Christ can't do it for you, Chris will. No, if Chris can't do it, Christ will. That's better. Chris, he'll do his best to help us. So the Beatitudes, salt and light, Chris fulfilling the law, murder, adultery, marriage. There are so many, do not worry, do not judge over the other side, the narrow way. And then right at the bottom, the last thing he talks about is building on the rock. There are so many great things that we know and that we've heard in church that have come from this little sermon, big sermon on the mount. So many great things. And that is the example of the rock. That is what Jesus is asking us to be obedient to. Why would someone ever build, knowing this, why would someone ever build on the sand? It seems a silly thing when we understand the importance of a foundation and we understand what we should be doing for us to ever actually build on the sand. The reason we do sometimes is because it is so much easier to dig in sand. We can do it with our bare hands. We don't need the crazy machinery to dig into rock. And it takes a lot less time as well. And I think that's something that increasingly we need to be aware of when it comes to our foundations, is that we live in a world which is so instant and we get used to having things straight away, that the hard yards of the 10, the 20, the 30, the 40 years of being obedient to God's word and the reading of his word every day seems so foreign and seems so out of reach for so many people because our lives are so instant and so right now. Yet it is exactly what Jesus is asking us here to do. The benefits of creating something that's going to last when the storms hit far outweigh the ease of building on sand, far outweigh the quick fix. And if we look at that big building, the Burj Khalifa we talked about before, it's interesting to look around and see that it's actually built in the desert in Dubai. There's plenty of sand around it. But underneath the surface, when they started excavating, underneath the surface there was actually rock. But the rock is brittle, and the rock is not solid enough to build a building of that size on. There is no substitute to the Word of God. We can get caught up sometimes, I think, in the best self-help stuff or programs or things that are okay, things that are good. But there is no substitute to the solid foundation that is the Word of God. There is none. And again, while these things are good, they are not sufficient for us to build our house or our life on. There is no substitute to the Word of God. You might be sitting here tonight and thinking, I understand what you're saying. But I've built a lot of my house on the sand already. Maybe even all of it. How do I go and change my foundations when I've spent so much of my life building on sand? And you may look at this illustration Jesus made and say, Andy, that's great. But the way I was raised, the family I grew up in, the situation I was in, I had no option but to build on sand because I didn't know rock. I didn't know where to find rock. I didn't know how to drill into rock. The sand was my best option. I needed to start building and there it was. I'm living in a desert. But don't underestimate, if you started doing that, don't underestimate what's beneath the sand, in that rock, and what Jesus can actually do in your situation. Your foundation might be shallow right now, but he can make it deeper. And by the grace of our amazing God, a miracle can happen, and Jesus can change the foundations to stone. And it may not happen overnight, it may not all happen at once, but it can happen bit by bit. And through trusting him and obeying his word, knowing his word, he and the Holy Spirit can reveal more and more truth to you, and a solid rock will begin to form beneath your house. I was imagining it like Jesus just doing that, getting the excavator in there, the holy excavator, and digging up some of that sand that was already there, and just bringing back a massive concrete truck, pouring that in, and solidifying that foundation that we have by reading and obeying his word. You might also be here and you say, man, Andy, most of my house, I reckon, is built on rock. I think it's pretty good, and I've spent a lot of years doing that. And that is really great. But I encourage you, and if we can just close our eyes right now, just as we consider our own foundation. I encourage you to do a building inspection on your life. And don't just look at the house. Although the house is a good sign, and some of the cracks that start to form in our house, in the plasterwork, and some of the walls that start leaning or things that start going wrong, they can often be a good indication that there's something wrong with our foundation. But let's concentrate more on the foundation itself, in every area and every aspect of your life. God might reveal to you something right now of an area of your life that needs solidifying. There might need to be a little bit of excavation that happens first, and that can take time and it can be hard. It can hurt sometimes. You might be in a storm right now and you need some reassurance that your foundation is solid. But above all, we know that our God is faithful to help us through whatever situation we're in by the obedience of his word.